would like to welcome a new sponsor to Satellite Sisters. Liz, you know, we say Satellite Sisters is a pep talk for modern women.
We do, Leanne.
But now we have a sponsor that is a daily pep talk in your pocket.
Awesome.
That is the Shine app. Every weekday, Shine sends you a motivational text. You are listening to the Satellite Sisters recap of Madam Secretary. Welcome. If you're new to Satellite Sisters, you can find out a lot more about us at satellitesisters.com. I'm Leanne Dolan in Pasadena, California, and I do this talk show with my four real-life sisters. In a minute, I'll be joined by my sister Julie in Dallas, Texas, to go over the second episode of the second season, The Doability Doctrine. We love Madam Secretary, but we love talking about women's lives in all forms, whether it's real life or on TV. For more information about Satellite Sisters, to listen to our podcast, or just to get to know us, please visit satellitesisters.com. Satellitesisters.com. Thanks for listening today. We appreciate it. Up next, our recap of Madam Secretary, Episode 2. You are listening to Satellite Sisters. I'm Leanne Dolan in Pasadena, California. I'm here with my sister Julie Dolan in Dallas, Texas. This is our weekly recap of Madam Secretary on CBS. This episode was, Julie, The Doability Doctrine. This is the second episode of the second season. We have just started recapping Madam Secretary, but we did watch the whole first season. And Julie, In this episode, I just kept thinking, my gosh, she must be exhausted. She packed so much into a single day. I mean, it was
exactly what I was saying. What a day Elizabeth is having. Could you even have this day, Leanne? I don't know.
I don't know how she did it. Yeah. So on the political front in this particular episode, okay, we had dual storylines going, and we had a Department of State employee was kidnapped in Kabul, okay? And then we had the mystery of where is the Russian president Ostrov, right?
Yes.
That was their fake
yes.
Russian president name. Mm-hmm. And then on the home front, we had the question of where is Stevie all day? So the misguided 21-year-old having a lot of issues disappears for a single day, and that throws the Secretary of State into just a complete tumult, even though she's also saving the world. And then we had to deal with just how many of those floppy blouses does Bess McCord own. I mean, she had another one on, a bright blue one for the whole show. She was wearing that the whole show, wasn't she?
Well, she had it was only one day. She had a very busy day.
It's very busy. So we're going to break it down scene by scene. If you don't know, one of the reasons this is a great show for us to do, first of all, we enjoy it. We like the stars. We like the fact that the executive producers are women and stars a woman. In our past, as the Satellite Sisters, we actually interviewed Madeleine Albright many years ago, and that was really one of the highlights of my professional career. It was such a pleasure to interview her when she came out with her book, which was called Madam Secretary. So you're going to hear a little bit about that throughout the whole recap. Julie, you've lived in foreign countries, so you're essentially our Secretary of State, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Well, I'm certainly the family Kremlinologist. And so this week, because it focused on Russia, where I lived for 5 years, I have a lot of insight for you, Leanne.
Yes. And I just watch a tremendous amount of TV. So those are our
which makes you very qualified.
Very qualified. All right. So this one is called The Doability Doctrine, which apparently is one of Madeleine Albright's signature doctrines. And we're going to get to that because Madam Secretary, Mrs. Albright, Madam Secretary Albright was in this episode of Madam Secretary. All right, so we open the first scene, Julie. We see the kidnapping of a DOS, Department of State, employee in Kabul, which I believe was actually like a tar pit in Palmdale, California. But I love when TV shows like go to foreign locales, and you know they're not foreign locales. I just love that.
But they have to do it. I mean, but it's a bad way to start the day. Okay, just that, you know, he gets kidnapped right off the bat. So
right.
Whew. So, but they're in the kitchen, right? They start the day. It starts in the morning in the kitchen.
In the kitchen. So, yeah, where, you know, we asked the question last week on the Facebook page. Someone asked the question, why don't they have any help? Like, how do they get everything done without any household help? And this week, that's all I could think of, because who's cleaning those breakfast dishes?
I know, me too. They made that dinner on the counter, on the sink, but yet the floors look polished, Leon. So I believe it is Secret State Department people that come in after the family has left to do the tidying up. Yes, I believe we're going to get to the bottom of that, Leon, but I believe that there is some SEAL team that comes in. Yeah.
And then, so we learn at the breakfast table also that the Russian president Ostrov is missing. And, the young son asks his mother, the Secretary of State, you know, how can dictators do that? And she responds, dictators can do whatever the hell they want. So,
yes, that, very important. And I love, yes, and I love that the speculation about the Russian president being missing is the same speculation they have about Vladimir Putin when he leaves town. Is he getting more plastic surgery? Is he spending time with the gymnast girlfriend? What is going on?
Excellent. So, but then we get to the real heart of this scene. We get to the where is Stevie storyline. Last week, we saw Stevie, their 21-year-old daughter, who had dropped out of college and now is going back. She was dating like a much older man who was her boss at an NGO. Now she's involved with the president's son who's been in and out of rehab. And last week, she was holding heroin for him, which seemed like a bad idea. And no one apparently confiscated it. But we learn in this breakfast scene that perfect dad Henry did, in fact, not only did he confiscate that heroin, he tested it. And it must be terrible having spies as parents. I mean, they have access to a lot of information, don't they?
I know that it was impressive as a parental technique to have the whole file there with the drug testing. Yeah. And Stevie's gone blonde in this morning too, which is a change from the previous one. She's lightened up her hair, so who knows what that could mean.
Well, as we know, Secretary McCord said they did some follicle testing on Stevie, so she didn't have any heroin in her system, but she does need some calcium. Yes. So, you know, they came down pretty hard on Stevie. They let her know who's who and what's what. But the truth is she is 21. So, and that becomes a storyline later on in the show. Like, there's only so much you can actually do with a 21-year-old. They are legal adults, but she's still living at home, even though she's back at school. And I really understand that, but well, I should, because I have a college 20-year-old living at home with me. So I do understand that. So never mind. So, okay, Secretary McCord gets to work. We find out that she has a Merchant Marine event where she and the Russian, it's supposed to be the Russian ambassador, but it turns out the foreign minister shows up. They're commemorating American and Russian friendship and working together in World War II. Right, Julie? That was the deal?
But this is really key. The Russians feel that they have won World War II. In fact, they don't even call it World War II. They call it the Great Patriotic War. And when you go to Moscow, you can visit the museum, the Great Patriotic War Museum, where they show you how they won World War II. Very little mention of the Americans. I was looking forward to this scene because I thought the Russians were going to make a big deal once again about them winning the war and that the Americans weren't involved.
So we learned that Secretary of State Madeleine Albright will be there. There is the first pin reference in this.
I know.
Which was nice to hear. If you remember, one of Madeleine Albright's signature looks was these giant pins she would wear on her suits. And she told us and that, you know, she was, once you start wearing pins, then you're just given pins. So she had this huge collection of pins in her office and she would just throw them on. And she did try to pick the pins very carefully. They were, they were well conceived, which pin she was wearing to which event. So we learned that Bess has received a pin from Madeleine Albright and Bess wants to wear her pin on that event. So I'm thinking, where is the pin? Where's her pin collection? We don't know, but we do know that there's a minor storyline of one of the State Department employees, Jay. Okay. He's like the policy guy
the guy with the beard.
He apparently spent the hiatus in Brooklyn because now he has a full beard. That doesn't look real. Like, I don't believe you'd be allowed to work at the State Department looking like that. Do you?
I think it's giving him some gravitas. That's the idea. You know, that he's the real policy wonk, the thinker. He's coming up with the big plans. Yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of a minor storyline. And then we switch over to Henry. He's teaching at the National War College. He's trying to recruit this Russian to turn against his country. And And what we learn is that the Russian sister is very sick and that this could be a point of vulnerability for him. And so the NSA tells Henry that if he, you know, if he decides, he can use this as a tactic to turn the Russian.
You know, that's really a key point, because I think one of the things that you appreciate is that the Russians have, you know, have tremendous patriotism. But there's something that they hold more dear is their family, you know, and that they would that trumps any nationalism that they might have. So the fact that, you know, that he's going to the sort of the soul of the Russian soul there, the core of the Russian soul, that, to, you know, that to turn this guy into a spy for the U.S., it has to be involved with the family.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo. Yes. You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's, okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then posts it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at PROS.com/ sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros.
Okay, Julie, very deep analysis.
Okay.
And right. I hate to dwell on the hair in this show, but yeah. I am still confused by the hair of NSA handler Claire from Law & Order. What yes. is that hair she's doing? Like
my notes say, ombre looks bad in a ponytail. That's what I wrote down watching the event. Yes, I think it's supposed to be providing her with some kind of street credibility that she's too busy to do anything with her hair. She should take the time to do something with her hair.
Yeah, bun it. I mean, put it in a bun, Claire, for God's sakes, or something. I don't know. Whereas I thought Elizabeth had an excellent hair show. Madam Secretary's hair looked fresh and bouncy throughout her incredibly busy day, wouldn't you say? Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So we're back at the White House. Things are getting real now. They're wondering about the State Department employee. He's been kidnapped. They think that he's been kidnapped by someone who stole the IDs of American, sympathizers working in Kabul with the American army. But it turns out that no, these were actual Afghanis employed by the Americans. They've kidnapped him. And they're kind of holding him ransom because they were promised that their families and themselves would be allowed to go to the United States in safety if they helped them. And that has all fallen through. So they want the U.S. government to follow through on their promises to bring them and their families to safety in the United States. And we understand that the State Department employee is what I have here, quote, a low-value American. And, you know, that's what I am, a low-value American.
I realize. And if you're kidnapped, it's all over.
Yeah, it's all over.
Nobody's coming in for you, Liam.
Right. So this sets up the tension between Madam Secretary and the new NSA advisor that the president has hired. And this guy, Julie, he looks like if Freddie Prinze Jr. and Andy Garcia had a baby. Like, isn't his face super familiar, but it is not quite any of those people.
Right. I kept looking at him.
I know.
But his character is instantly hateable.
Yeah.
And there's a real tension between our Elizabeth and this new NSA director, you know, that he is just keeping her out of all the conversations with the president. She's been given the Heisman, as Madeleine Albright says, right?
Yeah.
He's just pushing her out.
He's pushing her out. There's definitely tension, you know, more mystery surrounding the Russian president. All we know is at this ceremony now, the foreign minister shows up. This is someone with whom Elizabeth has a history. He seems to know everybody in the family. He knows Henry. He knows the kids. We're at the big ceremony. And this is a great scene with Madeleine Albright, I have to say. I mean, she's no actress. There's no Emmy forthcoming for Secretary Albright.
But it's wonderful. It's wonderful with wonderful advice, right?
Yeah. She's totally rocking that blue pantsuit. They both have like matching American Eagle pins on, yeah. Which mm-hmm. I like it. And here's what Secretary Albright tells Bess. Bess wants a private conversation with her afterwards so they can exchange this kind of information. Bess is concerned she is being pushed out, getting the Heisman. What's she going to do? And Secretary Albright said, you know what? There's plenty of room for mediocre men in the world, but there's no room for mediocre women.
That's right. I know.
I know. I mean, really, that was a great piece of writing. That's
it
good advice.
It was a great piece of writing. Yes, that was outstanding. Albright doctrine right there.
Right. There you go. And then we do learn about her doability doctrine. And and that is basically, if I can sum it up based on a speech she gave at the University of Chicago, I actually did a little research, weighing the most effective options for a specific crisis. From sending in troops or imposing a no-fly zone to offering non-lethal assistance or giving humanitarian aid. There's a concept where you should maybe weigh the most effective option as opposed to the easiest or the most immediate or the most terrifying, the doability doctrine. So we get that. And then at the end, Julie, what did you think about that line at the end when Madeline's saying goodbye to Bess and says, oh, hey, let me call Condi and we'll grab lunch.
Yeah, I love that. Okay,
I mean, but they are cutting Hillary right out of the lunch, man. What's happening there?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, they cut her out. Yeah.
They cut her out.
Hmm. I just I want to know what that was all about.
Okay.
And it also reminded me, I remember when Madeleine Albright was on our show, we asked about sort of the girls club in Washington. Like, is there, you know, is there a consensus? Is it a nonpartisan effort that women in Washington stick together? And she said, to a certain degree, but if I really have huge political differences with someone, no, like the fact that they're a woman does not trump the fact that I don't agree with them politically. So there you go. There's the doability doctrine on another fashion. So we have our Madeleine Albright sighting. It's great. You know, that floppy tie blouse at this point now, it's getting a starring role. I mean, she's got the jacket off, Julie. She's doing it with that blouse.
I know, but it's sort of droopy because she's really in the middle of it. She's got quite a situation. You know, she's got the situation in Afghanistan. She's got her daughter that she's worried about. Okay. I mean, they talked about heroin before 8 o'clock in the morning. I mean, that was quite a bit, you know, and, she just doesn't know which way to go. So she's taking the jacket off. Right.
Yeah. She's trying to understand now these people that have kidnapped the State Department guy. What is their motive? Are they decent people? Is this actually a true story? So she looks up their former CO, an American colonel, lieutenant colonel, who conveniently lives in Washington, D.C. And how cute was he, Julie? I mean,
he has been in some romantic comedy movie, Leon, because
wow.
He's so familiar. I could not figure out who that was.
I mean, let's make more room for him in future roles.
Yes. I think that would be a good idea, Leon.
Hello, Lieutenant Colonel Mike Wilkerson is what I wrote in my notes.
And his cute little Afghani dog. Yes.
Yeah. Very, very cute. So so it's all coming down now, Julie. There's a million storylines happening in the Situation Room. They're trying to get the low-level American asset out. Bess has wrangled a deal and gotten the president to agree to try to, you know, get the Afghans who have helped the Americans out as well and get their families. And they're all racing to the airbase and the Taliban's on them now. And there's a scuffle and, you know, the president kind of puts aside Bess's point of view and stands with the other guy. And the Afghanis go down. They go down. They do not get rescued.
I know. I mean, it was all they were going to be rescued. It was all going well. And then the Taliban shows up. Don't you hate that? Have you had days like that, Lane?
I know.
Where you think you finally got things back on, you know, the plates are all spinning. And then the Taliban shows up. I mean, it was going well. So,
and every time we see a scene like that in the Situation Room where they're like all the chiefs, you know, the joint chiefs and things like that. Do you think that's really how it happens, that there's like 25 people watching? I mean, that's such a Hollywood trope in every movie, like, you know, everyone's watching and hundreds of people sitting around in that Situation Room. It just seemed like, you know, don't those people have work to do and then they could get a call? I don't know. I don't understand.
Well, I mean, it seems like a pretty important thing. And, you know, Leon, we did see the Situation Room pictures, you know, when they were taking down Osama bin Laden. Oh. There were a lot of people in the room.
You're right, Julie.
I think it's pretty authentic.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You're right. Although he was not a low-level American. I mean, it was Osama bin Laden.
No.
I don't know. Okay. So it looks like her world's longest day is over. They go home. There's a family dinner scene where talking stick is involved. It's almost not even worth explaining, is it?
The mediation stick.
I mean, that was a little hokey.
Well, I think all families are trying to use any kind of techniques to deal with difficult situations. And everybody was supposed to make I statements, you know, and not accuse each other. But there was some fighting going on. Right.
Right. So they, you know, they're trying to reach a detente. They want to know, where was Stevie all day? Where was Stevie? Like, you know, because the father has plenty of time in the middle of the day to recruit spies, to sign up Dimitri. He's got him. He's held the sixth sister over him. All that's happening. And stop by her, you know, classroom at Georgetown to have lunch. No one does that. Who does that? No one does that. Your dad doesn't stop by to have lunch with you at college. But anyway, where's Stevie? Where's Stevie? And it turns out, Julie, where was she?
She was taking the LSAT, Leon.
Didn't even make sense to me.
Okay,
don't give in, Stevie. Don't give in.
She's having the worst day of her life. Okay, she's having an identity crisis. And the way to solve that identity crisis is to go take a standardized test.
Right.
Now, she said she's good at standardized tests. So that's why she did it.
I don't know. Seemed like a left turn, didn't it?
It just But they were very, her parents were, Stevie's parents were very happy that she was going to be a lawyer. You know, it was like all is well now because she took the LSAT.
Yeah. And who, I just wanted to know who made that dinner. Like, where did that come from? That was like a...
That looked delicious.
I know. Yeah. That was not takeout pasta. Someone made that pasta. We don't know who. SEAL Team 6, we think. Cooking cooking for MSEC while she's at work, you know, saving people. And then all of a sudden the Russian foreign minister shows up. And
yes.
He confirms that the Russian president is dead. You know, mm-hmm. tells them they're the first people in America to know, Henry and Bess, because Henry yeah. knows everything. You know, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. and this the Russian foreign minister wants them to promise to keep an eye on his daughter, who Olga.
Olga, who goes to Harvard Business School, yes. of course.
Yeah.
But Leon, this is really where art imitates life, because it is known that when Vladimir Putin was in East Germany and he was working for the KGB early in his career and a member of Stasi, and this is when the wall came down and the Soviet Union collapsed, he reached out to a German to protect his kids in a similar fashion.
Really?
Yes.
Good work. Good work, Kremlinologist. Okay.
So this was a very meaningful scene there at the end with the foreign minister saying, you know, take care of my kids.
Mm-hmm. And Bess, of course, is in one of her many bathrobes. She has more bathrobes than our mother. I thought people would stop buying bathrobes, but not the Secretary of State. And then in our final scene, we see Henry reeling in the Russian student. Now he's got him. The president's dead. Russia, as he has known, is over. So even though he's a great patriot, Julie, he does succumb. He wants his sister to be treated and get this special drug trial. So he agrees to work with Henry. So I think that'll be a good storyline.
Yes, yes. Well, it was an amazing day, Lynn. I mean, amazing.
It was. It was. I mean, when my husband comes home every day and says, hey, what'd you do today? I sometimes got to dig deep, you know.
You have to tell him about the socks.
Yeah.
Socks and the sandals.
I got to dig deep for stuff. But not her. Every day is crazy. Every day is crazy for Madam Secretary, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's a great show. I really enjoyed this episode. I can't wait to see what happens next. Whew.
I know. All right. We are the Satellite Sisters. If you have comments, you can always find us on Facebook. We have both an official page and a group page where there's a lot of chit chat back and forth. We love hearing from you. Just a reminder, our book, You're the Best, a celebration of friendship, comes out at the end of the month. You can find more information about that at satellitesisters.com. Julie, have a fantastic week. I mean, I feel like we just did a full day's work, didn't we?
I do too, Leon. I do too.
We squeezed it out, man. We talked about a lot of things for Tuesday. There's a lot of information in this last show. So you take it easy, Julie.
You too, Leon.
And don't forget.
Or whatever your name is.
And don't forget, call your satellite sister.